From the RentersWarehouse.com studio, the TomBernardShow.com, with Catherine Brad, who's not in here right now.
As usual.
But, no, I'm pointing to you.
Oh, hey, guys. Hello, Cy Amundsen. Is that how we do it? Do we just say our name?
Yep. Andy Redford.
That was a struggle of a start.
Mike Rasmussen.
Ralph Dory Bash from MD.
And featuring Don Mischke.
Don Mischke. Tommy
Mischke. Was that your Pardo?
Tommy
Mischke. Yes, that's my Don Shelby impersonation.
Tommy.
And Mischke.
A couple of observations back in 90 seconds. All these guests are in studio. We're ready to roll 90 seconds from now on the TomBernardShow.com.
Hi, Tom here for my friends at Renter's Warehouse. Are you considering a move soon? Need to relocate, combine households, or just don't want to pay your mortgage anymore? Forget the hassle of selling your home. Why risk getting less than your asking price? Find out what your home will rent for instead. Renter's Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent out your home easy, fast, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. And for only $80 a month, their professional landlords will manage your property 24/7, including rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, and more. They'll even warranty your renters for up to 9 months, meaning if for any reason the tenant doesn't stay, Renter's Warehouse will replace that tenant for free. There are no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. It sounds like a great deal because it is. Go to RentersWarehouse.com right now for a free rental price analysis to see what your home will rent for today. Call 952-470-8888. Again, 952-470-8888 or visit RentersWarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse, the professional landlords.
This is Tom Bernard for Point Family Dentistry. That was my 1950s read. Serving Bloomington and the surrounding area since 1973, do your gums bleed even after visiting the dentist? At Point Family Dentistry, healthy gums are a reality, and their goal is zero bleeding. They individualize treatment for your specific needs. They use state-of-the-art technology to diagnose your risk and treat your infection based on science. Their cleaning appointments last an entire hour, while most insurance-driven practices allow only 40 minutes. They offer digital x-rays that significantly reduce your exposure to radiation, utilize state-of-the-art cone beam 3D dental imaging to diagnose complex problems, and plan individualized dental implant placement. Point Family Dentistry also provides state-of-the-art treatment for TMJ and sleep apnea, cosmetic dentistry, and a wide array of dental whitening options. For all of your dental needs, pointfamilydentistry.com to set an appointment today. For a better pair of choppers, pointfamilydentistry.com. Tim's a hell of a good guy, too. I just thought I'd throw that in at the end. You guys were talking about Jim Abbott, former Major League pitcher.
One-armed Jim Abbott.
One-armed. Was it? Where did he nub off at? It was the hand.
Oh, it was just the hand? Okay. Well, then what was he bitching about?
Exactly.
He was born that way.
Yeah, he was born that way.
Yeah, congenital deformity.
Yeah, and then he would pitch, and then he would flop the glove quick onto the... That's crazy.
That's correct. Jim Abbott, Major League pitcher. I used to love to buy brand-new copies of the latest National Lampoon magazine. I loved National Lampoon magazine.
When you were younger?
Yeah, no, last week.
Well, I mean, how far back are we talking?
It was in business, bitch. No, we're talking, God, in the 60s, 70s.
Right. It's long gone, is it?
As far as I know.
Oh, all right.
I used to love it, though.
National Lampoon, I think.
Magazine?
Yeah.
I picked up a copy of National Lampoon magazine, and there's just a little sign. You turn the page, and there's just a little sign in the middle of the page that says, "The Jim Abbott Finger Puppet Show has been canceled."
Yeah, they canceled that in 1998.
Now, see, that's funny.
That's a great joke, yeah.
The finger puppet show.
Someone at this table claimed, and I don't recall this, Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Andy?
What?
Guaranteed that one-handed phenom.
Let Jim Abbott throw a no-hitter, Andy.
Wow.
Clicky, click, click, click.
Yes, he did against the Indians. He wasn't a one-arm.
Wow.
He was a one-hand.
One-hand.
He just trampled that.
With which team? What team was he on when he threw it?
Give the stat.
Played
again,
for the
Andy.
Angels, Yankees, White Sox, and Brewers.
So I wasn't close on those other teams.
So in 1993, he would have been Yankees then.
So he threw it with the Yankees.
Yankees against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
He a career record of 87 wins and 108 losses with 4.25 ERA, which is pretty good for a guy with one hand.
I bet he got tired of that, though, in life. Hey, he's pretty good for a guy with one hand. Yeah. I mean, it was always that sentence thrown in.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was always, never... yes.
But it is pretty good for a guy with one hand.
Okay. I think a no-hitter is pretty good, period. I don't even think you need the sentence after it.
Okay. Don't you want to make him even better? I think that makes him even better. You did it, plus you only had one hand.
So what?
You're better than all the other two-handed jackals out there throwing heat.
You're throwing a ball with one hand. What do you need with two hands?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like you need two hands.
I will say this, and I'll show it into the camera for YouTube. Get Smart, back in the 1960s, Asian man walks up to Maxwell Smart, and he's got a claw for a right hand, right? Mm-hmm. And he walks up, and he goes like this. I suppose you know what they call me. And Maxwell Smart goes, lefty? That show was damn funny, too.
That was a great show.
Speaking of existing without body parts, there was a famous Life magazine story years ago in the 60s of a farmer who had chopped off the head of his chicken.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he was going to cook it up, but didn't because it didn't die.
It ran around, yeah.
Well, it didn't run around and then die.
It lived
without a head. Mm-hmm. And it became a feature in Life magazine, and they kept it as a pet.
With no head.
With no head for the rest of its life.
And now you know what that chicken's doing?
I don't know.
Traffic on the KQ Morning Show. So, moving forward. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as they say. Some famous last words from famous people. I've not seen any of these, so I don't know if any of them are any good, but do you have an interest in them? What are you, Alex?
Relax. I'm trying to. I was on Jim Abbott on Wikipedia, and I was on No Hitter, and I found my way into Nolan Ryan. Because I think Nolan Ryan could still pitch today at 67. Relax. You know he threw 7 no-hitters. Out of 7 no-hitters in your career. That's amazing, no matter how many hands you have. Think of that. 7. 7 no-hitters.
He could not pitch 15 years ago, let alone right now.
I think Nolan Ryan could pitch today. I think the Ryan Express, he can still throw it.
The Ryan Express.
I don't think he could start a game. I think he could throw an inning or two for you. He'd be better than some of the jack-offs we got in the Twins bullpen right now.
Speaking of baseball, any of you guys into town ball? Do you like town ball?
I used to go see town ball. I loved it.
Yesterday I was out in River Falls. They built a brand new stadium for their team. They did it all by just raising money from businesses around there. No public money. Cost $1 million. It's free to go see a game there. They just ask that you buy concessions. That'll cover everything. They expect to make $35,000 a year off concessions.
Right.
Their first game is Friday. First game of the year. But I didn't realize, so I was asking, how's the team do? Last year, the year before, I guess it was the year before last, they won the Wisconsin State Championship. Mm-hmm. But you know Meesville and some of these lovely little small towns?
Absolutely. I'll be driving through Meesville tomorrow.
I love the idea of it, but I haven't checked it out.
Wonderful. Used to watch the St. Cloud Rocks when I was a kid.
St. Cloud Rocks, yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
I asked this guy, I said, so where do you figure you guys are with this River Falls team? He said, 2 guys in the last year of pro teams have taken them on. They're in minor league now with the pros.
It's the Meesville Mudhens, isn't it?
Yes, right.
I used to
go to the Rock Stadium, too, because I have relatives who live down the block from there. Yeah.
Sure.
Why were you there? Was that?
I was in prison. Once I got out of the penitentiary. No, we used to go through St. Cloud to go to Long Prairie where I was born.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that's I always thought it was Minneapolis.
No, I was born in Long Prairie, Minnesota, which is about 120 miles northwest of here. It's up kind of by Alexandria. It's between Little Falls and Alexandria.
Best town in
so
America.
You were born in all German country.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. German Catholic?
No, God, yes.
So big that's German where my Catholic. Family's from, too. Central Minnesota, all German
big
Catholic.
German Catholic. Except for my dad, who was a Southern Baptist and out of his fucking mind. But other than that...
You know, in World War I, if you were a German and you were anywhere where there weren't other Germans, it was apparently a nightmare for you.
I guess
the discrimination was pretty bad. But I thought, what a joy to live in Central Minnesota. No, it wasn't internment camps, but they did the same kind of stuff where it wasn't sauerkraut anymore. It was freedom cabbage.
Freedom cabbage, yep. I do remember that.
But I'm going to start calling it that.
Freedom cabbage.
Freedom cabbage sounds way tastier.
Freedom cabbage sounds like it doesn't have any gas, though.
Yeah. Freedom cabbage, I'm not even going to say it. I will tell you.
If you bring up Nolan Ryan again, I'm
Nolan Ryan threw a no-hitter, his last one at 44 years old. He was 44.
Why me?
You know, they think Nolan Ryan killed Nicole Simpson, not O.J. They actually think that.
No,
how you feeling about him now?
Nobody thinks that. That's false. That's like saying, you know Nolan Ryan. He's the guy who he created Hitler. That's not true. You can't just throw – this is facts. This is Wikipedia.
Here's what I'm saying.
Do you know Nolan Ku Klux Klan Ryan?
You know? Do you?
I support.
Did I ever tell you about the time
career,
he tied up Sandy Koufax in the basement?
I'm not going to get into his politics. Koufax, he threw three more no hitters than Koufax.
Whoever sits in that chair is an IT pain in the ass.
Yeah,
that's all Alex does is sit there on her laptop or on her phone. And now you're sitting there, and now you're on your laptop.
You don't want me to learn?
You want to kick in the goddamn show? Or
can
not?
I ask a question about your family now that two of them aren't here?
What?
How's it going with the family on this whole thing? And I'm quite serious about this, is it?
Yeah, it's going well.
And this is the reason I'm asking. I just think that's the most dangerous experiment in the world.
No, they're the only three people I give a fuck about, so it works out really well.
I know that part's true.
Well,
but I mean,
only three? That's
the dynamic of the whole thing.
Size feelings are I mean, in such
others.
A deep manner.
Yeah, oh, gotcha.
That's what I'm saying. Gotcha. So what were you saying?
But still, the dynamic of bringing everybody together and having it all work. I mean, it doesn't always work at the dinner table. It doesn't always work Saturday morning for chores. How does it always work here?
I just go, hey, I'm your father. Shut the fuck up.
Andy, would you like to weigh in on this?
Well, it helps that Mom and Alex are never here.
Zing, zing! He says on the thing that they can hear later.
Okay, I'm going to run some – I'm going to see if you guys can guess. And the hard ones, I'm not going to have you guess very long, but these are the famous last words of famous people.
All right.
Okay, you ready? All right, I'm going to get by this. Okay, his last words, and I finally found the God, why did I have to make it so – oh, see, that one, I'm not even going to read that one. That one's bullshit. That one was stupid. His last words were, I want to get better. Fuck you.
Who's last word for that?
Nolan Ryan.
Is it Nolan Ryan?
Corey Monteith, who was on Kyle XY.
The guy who died of a drug overdose because of Glee.
Yes.
You know what Nolan Ryan's last words were before he was killed?
I can still pitch in this motherfucker.
No, Sandy, I was just kidding. Back off.
Why did I ever let you guys come in here? It's a huge mistake. Roger Ebert's last words were...
That movie sucked.
I'll see you at the movies.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
No,
yes, they were.
I'm
reading it right here.
That's kind of great.
He looked really good at the end, I thought.
I thought Roger Ebert was a fantastic critic and speaker and writer. I thought he was great. But
anytime,
that's a little ridiculous.
Anytime your your entire jaw from your ears down looks like a dried up gourd, that's the look you're going for.
It's
see
tough.
What I'm saying? That's a good look.
I'm not going to come look at that picture. I will tell you.
That's a good look.
You won't chew
like
tobacco
if
or
last,
smoke.
Here's the thing. If your last words are, I'll see you at the movies, which is your catchphrase, like, he obviously knew there wasn't a lot of time left, but do you get that out way in advance? Like, you're like, you don't know when you're going to die, and you're like, well, I'll see you at the movies.
Three days later,
everybody's like, how are you doing? And you just don't speak because you want those to be your last words? Or do you have
thing.
To finish every
Here's
sentence?
The thing
like, it's
you
nice to
know.
See you, Tom.
No.
See you
no.
at the movies.
You're missing something critical here. Roger Ebert didn't speak the last 2 years of his life.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the last words were 2 years before he actually died.
So he had no, because of the jaw thing, he had no speaking
power. He said
power.
That just before having surgery to have his jaw removed.
Are you doing a bit? Because you've been doing bits with Nolan Ryan, so I can't tell if that's real
not.
Or not
a bit with Nolan. Ask Sandy Koufax's family.
Ebert's couldn't talk for the last years of
They didn't build a house with a cross burning out front, I'll tell you that. That came
really
after Nolan moved
power.
Into the neighborhood. Huh?
You're really pushing white power.
I'm telling you, Nolan Ryan's a white supremacist, and he took on Sandy Koufax, I believe it was, that rough summer of the Watts riots.
I don't know if you're doing a bit or
no,
not.
No, I am not.
You're insane. That's not a real thing. Nolan Ryan is not a white supremacist.
Quit putting this guy on a pedestal and look him up. If you want, you can see the whole section at the Holocaust Museum on him.
You're an idiot.
Boy, look at the time. We'll be right back in 90 seconds with more of this bullshit. The RentersWarehouse.com studios. I will say this. These will be my last words because they were George Jones's last words. So my last words before I die, I'm going to say, hiya, I've been looking for you. I'm George Jones.
What?
And his wife said at the time, I believe he was introducing himself to God. These fucking hillbillies.
I sure do believe that he was introducing himself to the pearlies.
Do you ever need
stick-fucked idiot.
All right, we'll be back in 90 seconds more at TheTomBernardShow.com from the RentersWarehouse.com studios.
Dougie, what's new at Walzer?
I was reading this article in Edmunds about car shopping. Take a look.
Okay. Americans hate car shopping so much they'd rather give up sex and do taxes.
Yeah, it gets better.
What's ridiculous, though, is just how many people hate the haggle. 1 in 5 said they'd willingly give up sex for a month rather than haggle for a new car. Another 44% said they'd be willing to give up Facebook.
Read on, Sir Tom.
Even more worrying, though, are the number of people that'd simply prefer to avoid the car buying experience altogether. 1 in 3 people surveyed said they'd rather do taxes, go to the DMV, or sit in an airplane's middle seat.
Tom, this is the reason that Walzer does business differently. We've been hassle and haggle free for over 10 years, and people love it. Great pricing online, in the store, every single car, every single day.
And you don't have to give up Facebook?
Nope. In fact, I'd like you to read our new slogan from our brand new marketing department.
Okay. Here goes.
Don't give up sex. Buy from Walzer and save the haggling for home.
What do you think?
Slight improvement over the old marketing department.
Tommy Mischke and Tom Bernard from Midwest Fence. Todd's in studio. You gave him a call, said, come on down.
Good to have a guy from Midwest Fence here. I did ads for Midwest Fence for years.
They put in a fence for me out at the farm, Mile of Fencing. I've known the company for a long, long time. That fence looks today like it did the day they installed. About that same time they put that fence in, I did a commercial for a new product called Trex. You've heard of it.
Trex Fencing at a Midwest Fence. They're exclusive dealers of this fencing. The most durable fence out there. Isn't that right, Todd?
Absolutely. It tested up to 130-mile wind speed.
Yeah. So it's still sitting there after an F2 comes by.
Only fence standing.
Yeah.
Did you say FU or F2?
Someone says FU, that thing's still standing.
It's still standing.
It's still there. Tough son of a bitch. That's Trex Fencing. Midwest Fence, serving the metro and beyond. See us online at MidwestFence.com. That's MidwestFence.com for $250 off any fence project.
You goddamn right. We've decided to turn this into a country and western podcast.
Can we do that?
It's a natural transition from white supremacy.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You know, because I'm much more liberal than I used to be. Isn't it kind of racist for them to call that product Nicorette?
Actually, while we're on this topic, I was going to throw a question your way that Shelby bounced off me before the show. He told me, speaking of Nolan Ryan's problem with Sandy Koufax, he told me you will not watch a Coen Brothers film. What the hell's your problem,
boy?
I don't care for him.
Do you have a personal issue with him?
You will not watch a Coen Brothers film.
Well, that's not true. That's not true because I like Raising Arizona, and I liked, what was their very first one?
Blood Simple.
I like those two, but once they got that silly, broad bullshit, I like that. Oh, God, I hate
what?
Those
movies. What?
You need to be more specific.
Oh, what's that horseshit one? And I love the actor John Turturro, but.
Well, there's many films.
I know, but he was the lead. Oh, God damn it. Look up.
It's the one. It's with Clooney.
But
it's,
how did you write them off?
Are you talking about? You're talking about the period piece. The
Hudsucker Proxy.
The old man.
The Hudsucker Proxy. I hated that guy.
Okay, but I mean, I didn't like that either. But then you don't see any others.
So well, you Fargo and
True
I'd like,
Grit.
True Grit.
That was very good.
You did see it.
Yes.
Oh, Shelby said you refused to see all of them.
Didn't care for it. I've gotten halfway through it about three times. I can't watch it.
How about the No Country for Old Men?
No Country for Old Men is fantastic.
Let me just tell you something. You want to kill somebody, you carry around a cow punch, you're a fucking idiot.
You bet.
Let me carry around a 60-pound, 3-foot cow punch to kill people.
A captive bolt pistol? And if you fire it off one time and...
Movies are fiction. They're fiction.
Although I do like that Mexican, whatever his name is.
Javier Bardem.
No, there were movies about...
The Mexican.
The Mexican.
Because he's Spanish, actually.
Yes, he is.
But anyway, I...
You didn't like Fargo.
Did not like Fargo. I do like the TV series, though.
Yeah.
Much better acting.
Great. I thought
the acting in Fargo was horrible.
You didn't... And have you seen Inside Llewyn Davis?
No.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, no. Brother, Where Art Thou? You didn't like that?
Didn't see it. I don't like... George Clooney is a horseshit actor. I can't stand
it. Okay, but they... So what... You see, Inside Llewyn Davis, because I just watched it and I've been meaning to see it for a while. Inside Llewyn Davis, and the interesting thing about the Coens, and that's what they did with the Burn after reading. Every once in a while, they'll travel down the road of just doing a character study, like where there's not necessarily a story, there's not an arc. It's just we are going to give you a glimpse into this character's life, and that's what Inside Llewyn Davis is. And if you're a creative type at all, it's hard. It's a hard watch. There's a part in there that will break you. And I thought that was good. I don't know. That's a weird stance. That's
the problem that I have with
And I don't love all their stuff either, but I like a lot of it.
I like there are four or five you mentioned that I do like. I just don't like the way they direct actors. I think the acting in their movies is mostly horseshit. It's way over the top. It's just very broad, and I've never liked that.
Yeah.
I just think it's the easy way out. I really do. Now,
what about
if you're John Goodman, yeah. You get away with it because he's so goddamn good at it.
And he's the actor in Inside Llewyn Davis. He's one of the side characters. And
he's
that kid
terrific.
In Inside Llewyn Davis, I'm blanking on his name. What's the guy, the star of Inside Llewyn Davis? He's a young dude and he can sing.
Luke? No one's going to know him because he was in nothing before this.
He was in one or two other things, but they were small roles. You're right. He wasn't of any star status.
He came out of seemingly nowhere.
Yeah, he was in the movie 10 Years. Oscar Isaac. Fantastic.
Really good.
But they like – it's the same thing that every once in a while I like Wes Anderson. But every once in a while, Wes Anderson, it gets to be a little too – you're like, you're playing too heavy. You're sitting too heavy on the emotion of this character. And I'm in a hokey way sometimes. That happens
exactly
a little bit
problem.
In Inside Llewyn Davis. It happens. But
that is my
hope. I like the shooting style. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because my biggest issue is sometimes – because the Coen brothers, although they've made huge hits – sometimes the people who fall into those categories are like this. If they end up liking all these – the innovative style of shooting. And I like that the Coen brothers, they start wide and they shoot cross cuts and they just shoot this stuff where it's just – we're going to – you obviously don't like the acting and it reeks on you because that's what they're relying on. The way they shoot, they're relying on their dialogue and the acting. Not on camera angles and quick chases and the Michael Bay activity that some people used to make.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either.
But which I like it, but I mean, if you don't like the acting that lands, I get it. But
the problem that I have is it's just way over the top. It's too much for me. I like nuance. I'm big into nuance. Like
then you must love My Dinner with Andre.
I hated it so much, I can't even tell you.
Yeah, it was painful.
It was just painful to watch.
What's the last movie you saw you liked?
Funny Car Summer. Right, Tom? Wasn't that your favorite?
I think it was Eat My Dust with Ronnie Howard. the last movie I really liked? Boy, it's been a while. Now, see, I like God's Pocket. Most people would hate that movie. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movies.
Yeah.
I loved it just because he was so goddamn good.
Yeah.
I love really, really good acting.
Yeah.
And there are not very many very good actors.
There's not many of that. But I will say everybody shits on the movie industry because they think, oh, you're not putting out anything good. You're not putting out anything creative.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's some validity to that, especially right now. People are so scared to spend money, which is why you see all the sequels, which it's the T-shirt brand, Target T-shirt. Like, get something nostalgic and people will come see it. A Ninja Turtles movie, a Ghostbusters sequel. All the fucking the comic book movies. It's just because they know they'll make money. I don't like the comic book movie. The Batman one's fantastic.
Yes,
but But this last year was a good year for movies. Did you see Dallas Buyers Club?
No, but I heard it's really good.
You got to see Dallas Buyers
Club.
Like it's really good. I thought her was the Spike Jonze thing about the guy who falls in love with the computer.
Uh-huh.
The metaphor is pretty heavy-handed, but it was good. And if you like, just listening to Scarlett Johansson act with her voice is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Yeah,
I don't know, there's just, there's, I didn't like American Hustle. Everybody lost their shit over American.
Terrible.
I thought it was overrated. But there were
totally
good movies this year.
Way too long.
You guys see Nebraska with Will Forte?
I saw it, really liked
I liked
it.
Nebraska,
I
yeah.
really liked Nebraska.
Good, this was a good year for movies.
Well, I always loved Bruce Dern anyway.
Yeah.
Bruce Dern's always been.
He's fantastic.
I remember one time playing a cop. And he gets on a bus, and there's a criminal on the bus. And the criminal's staring him down. He goes, "What are you going to do, eyeball me to death?" I mean, it's just the way he delivered the line was just magnificent. I like good acting. I was Marlon Brando ruined me for watching movies because he was so far superior to anybody else who's ever acted. Nobody will ever be as good as he was.
I have one guy who I think is his equal.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I can't tell if it's going to be a bit or not.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a hell of an actor. Yes, he is. Yeah, I would say that scene where he's wrapped in the flag and Gangs of New York.
Oh, that's
unbelievably
so ridiculous.
Good. No, you're right. Daniel Day-Lewis, phenomenal.
Well, and here, this is one. This is not on the level of Daniel Day-Lewis, but if you like acting, it's been fun to watch. It's been happening for 3 years now. People act like it's been the last 12 months, but it's been fun to watch Matthew McConaughey finally reach his potential. I think he's always
Woody Harrelson too.
Yeah.
The two of them.
Yeah. Well, everybody acts everybody acts like Woody they're like, well, has McConaughey just transformed into this actor, or was he making bad choices, or did we just not see it?
I agree.
I think it's the first a combo of those last two where he was making bad choices, but when you're in a shitty movie or a rom-com, critics, no matter how great you are in that, critics are never going to give you any credit. So I think he's just finally started. Did you see Mud?
I saw the first half hour of it, and I want to see it all. I didn't have
it's
time
fucking,
to finish it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
and he
I've
was
heard.
Good in Lincoln Lawyer, and he's Dallas Buyers Club. He's fucking fantastic.
You know what I thought
Matthew
you were
going
to do to me?
Mm.
I swear to God, when you said he only has one equal, and I thought you were going to say something like, the next door neighbor on According to Jim.
Yeah.
Throw one of those deals at me. You know, I was like, yeah! Yeah, he's just fabulous. No, so you guys do agree with me then. That acting is everything.
I think your definition of it, like it's a taste, it's a personal taste. Because I think there are people out there who enjoy the way the Coen brothers direct their actors. And
they do.
So I think it's a lot like comedy. There are people who like subtle one-liner comedy. There are people who like energy. There's people who actually go see the Kings of Comedy. So I mean, there's shit for everybody, but.
Nobody, I've never found anybody that agrees with me on this one. Most overrated actor. And when I say actor, I don't say actress. Actors are just actors.
Yeah.
Not male,
man,
female.
Man, just a term that suits both.
Most overrated actor in history. You got one?
In history?
Ever.
I guess I can guess who you're going to
say. Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, who?
Meryl Streep.
You got it.
Yeah.
She is so unbelievably overrated. Yeah. It's amazing.
Why do you think that?
Because she sucks, and she always has to throw her bullshit politics into everything she does.
I think it's more the politics, Tom. Don't you
think
so?
She's not a good actress.
I don't think she's a bad actress.
Well, she's severely overrated.
Death Becomes Her?
Well, then kill her.
Tom would like that. Yeah. Tom would like her dead.
I'm not saying she doesn't have any talent. It's just everybody thinks she's so goddamn
wonderful.
She's
the greatest, and you think there are other things that play into that.
I just don't see it at all. First of all, she's hard to look at.
And the guy? Johnny Depp.
Oh, boo!
Same character ever since
every
this movie. Same character ever since this movie.
Get out of my fucking world.
Same character.
Get the fuck out of here.
Half-baked, ambiguously gay kind of character.
Here's the thing. I think you saw all the Pirates movies, and you're like, he keeps doing the same character. Yeah, well, there's been three fucking Pirate movies.
Four, I think.
I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Tried to watch that first Pirate movie. I go, was the same character.
Well, you're wearing the Hunter S. Thompson shirt. Did you see him in?
Are wearing a Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, no, I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I could only take.
Did
take
you see
that.
The new one though? Did you see the Rum Diaries?
No.
So suck it. You can't be a critic. We're gonna pull this up because I like Johnny Depp. I think, and here's the thing.
Johnny Depp.
I think he's. There's an interesting thing about him in that he doesn't. He doesn't watch any of his movies, which
no, he does
is
not.
Crazy.
Why?
He just he likes the experience.
No, why is it crazy? He doesn't watch his movie. Who cares? He's got his paycheck.
I
would
think,
he's home.
No. I think, but his reasoning, he was like, I like the experience of it. I like to experience the acting, and then I don't want to see it. I want to go. And I'd always be. I come from comedy, so you always watch your sets in an effort to improve yourself.
Yeah,
it's like watching
true.
Game tape. So that's just foreign to me. Okay. Did you see Transcendence yet?
Terrible.
Shut
Absolutely
up.
Terrible movie.
Okay, that's fine. Just shut up.
You asked me. Did you
I'm
see
asking
Transcendence?
Him.
I wouldn't go see the guy because it's just always the same.
If you're talking
really
to somebody
the same.
Else.
But
same
I want to know what movie this studio. And then I look at you.
In this studio, if you're talking to someone else, if you're talking to me, say, did you like Transcendence? I will know you're talking to me. If you're talking to somebody else, say, did you see it, Fuckface?
Tom Fuckface, Public Enemies.
It's highly overrated.
Thought it was good. I don't get into other people's ratings, so then I don't
okay.
get all worked
okay.
up. Thought it was good.
All right, what else you got?
I mean, Sweeney Todd.
I like Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney
a lot.
Todd is fantastic.
I love Helena Bonham Carter though.
Yeah, she's incredible.
I think she's terrific.
See Dark Shadows?
Terrible.
Oh jeez. Rewarm 60s show.
But did you see it?
No.
You're a jackoff. That's the problem. You can't.
You can't.
Here's the thing. You can't. I have no problem with being a critic because I'm heavily critical, but it's these people who are like, that guy fucking sucks. Well, did you see 7 of his last 8 movies? Nope. But
why would I? Well,
why would I?
Because I saw the preview to Dark Shadows. It was exactly the same character again. Why am I going to watch the same character in 8 movies?
How do you think Johnny Depp would act going to get Mischke another beer? How would he perform that role?
Well, let's see how Mike Rasmussen does it.
Mike? It's going to be pretty damn good.
Hey, Mike, Johnny Depp Rasmussen, can I have a water too?
I gotcha.
We'll do a break while Mike, Johnny Depp Rasmussen is gone. The Rusty Gatenby Review video podcast on the Tom Bernard Network. The Rusty Gatenby Review is the entertaining show about entertainment. Rusty Gatenby will give you his opinion about upcoming movies, restaurants, music, or events, and will also feature in-studio guests. The Rusty Gatenby Review, find it at therustygatenbyreview.com. That's therustygatenbyreview.com on YouTube or on the Tom Bernard Network page. I'm with Dan Chesky from Dan's Southside Marine. What you'll like is the entire family's there. The entire Chesky family's over there. You have everything, even though you're indoors, there's a dock you walk along.
Yeah, we put a dock right down the middle of the showroom, and that makes it easy to get on and off all those pontoons. And yes, you're right. The family is completely there. We consider everybody that works for us family. It's a great group of people that work there. I really appreciate their help.
I liked everyone but you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
thank you so much. No, it was nice to actually go, because you have everything from fishing boats to...
Yep, fishing boats.
Whatever you need.
Fiberglass runabouts, we got ski boats, we got deck boats. We've got it all. Plus, we've got the Connelly line of accessories for water sports. You know, mm-hmm. We've got their full line of water skis, wakeboards, tubes, ropes, you name it, we got it. And we got a complete ship store, too.
So basically today on the Tom Bernard Show from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, we've heard people yell at each other.
Yes.
But in any case, you know, when you talk about things like sports and acting and writing and all the rest of it, it gets very difficult because everything is so subjective.
But that's the fun thing. That's arguing.
Yeah.
Arguing's the fun thing. Like, I think you're an idiot about the Coen brothers, and I think you're an idiot about Johnny Depp, and I think you're an idiot about Nolan Ryan, and I'm silky white clean over here.
That's because you're an Aryan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fucking loser to me.
I feel like a loser. Saying that, I felt like a loser.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt like the guy who's like really hanging on to high school glory or
when
something.
When you...
I was a quarterback. You were the safety. Like, that sort of stuff.
When you age a little more, you realize just how fucking dopey you really are.
Do you think I'll age, or do you think I'll stay youthful in both soul and appearance?
Soul and appearance. Good luck to you.
I honestly think it'll be smooth sailing.
I won't be alive to see it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're not long for this world.
No, I wouldn't think so.
What do you think you got left in you?
Hour. Well, no, about an hour and 23 minutes. I'll get to the end of part two.
You'll get to the end of part two, and then you're out.
I don't know. It's really weird because I'm going through the thing right now in life where it's like, well, everything I wanted to do, I've already done, so there's nothing left.
So you're just going to be one of those people who's like, I've got nothing left, and then you're just going to conk off?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've already raised I've been married to a wonderful woman for 30 years. I've had great kids.
Mm-hmm.
I helped my mother get through her life in a happy manner, and I got nothing left to do, so who gives a fuck?
Here's a question. Do your family, do they live long? You guys got long living families?
Yeah, they do. My mother lived to be 88. My grandma, yeah. Everybody lives in their 80s or late 80s.
Okay, cool.
Except for the ones that got murdered.
Yeah.
Which I could get murdered.
You know what's really sad to think about, but kind of fun to think about, is if you do make it into your 80s, when I was driving out here, I was hearing the ad that says starting at 82, it's 50-50 on getting Alzheimer's. So right. Now you make it to your mid-80s, flip the coin, say you get Alzheimer's. Tom Bernard with Alzheimer's. First of all, there's a joyous thing. You forget all the people you hate.
Hate, yeah.
That's
maybe
true.
And they say there's a personality change that happens. Maybe you just get loving.
You go the extra.
It's so nice of all of you people to come and see me today. You look so wonderful. I really like that T-shirt. That'd be my personality. Yeah,
why did the Alzheimer make you a fucking pussy too?
Yeah,
I like that shit.
He's
saying that because what he said when I walked in earlier today is, "How's the construction job?"
Yeah. You look like you got some drywall to get to.
Yeah.
Or Tom might be. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at? It's true. I think my last words, and I do know this, my favorite last words of all time were a guy being executed by the state of Georgia, I think it was. His famous last words after being injected were, "Hey, I'm still away." True story. He didn't get the "cuh" out. He died before "cuh"
for execution out. Last words, tough to beat Gary Gilmore.
Oh, that's right. What did he say again?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's right. Let's do it.
There's going to be fun.
My last words will be, "Get the fuck away from me." Mm.
Is that true? Is it a 50-50 of Alzheimer's
at
past
82?
Yeah.
You do not want to make it there. You do not want to get into your 80s. Die at 79 because
at the point it's
50-50. Who wants to play those ads? Those odds. So, no, you want to die at 79, which is the normal life expectancy for a male in this country anyway. You do not want to live into your 80s.
No, I'm going deep.
Part 2.
I mean, I got sharpness, and my grandma's turning 100 this year.
Women are different, man.
She's attacked.
Women
actually have more Alzheimer's prevalence.
Yo, give me some, Andy.
No.
Boom. It's the last time I ever do this show. I will not be humiliated.
Andy humiliated.
Tom had made a note here saying it was the last time.
Yeah. I'm just in my swan song.
My cursive.
Yeah, women live longer, but they have a higher prevalence of Alzheimer's.
And is it dementia too?
Yeah, I believe so.
And you
can't almost two-thirds of people with Alzheimer's are women.
You can't even go off previous generations because the epidemic wasn't there then. There's something happening now.
Well, I think that's fascinating too. Like the thing I think about a lot, it'll be interesting to see my generation and maybe the generation above me or even one above them, people in their 40s right now who have lived through the modification of food. I wonder how that'll take on life expectancy, and it'll be interesting to see how people age with the changes to food and culture in the last 40 to 50 years.
Well, I'm growing my own beans in my backyard, so.
I like it.
So you'll be just fine.
I'll just let you know what it's like being 300 years old.
There's some bright scientists out there, man. There's some bright scientists out there that have started treating it like a disease, aging like a disease.
Let me tell you something. Scientists are the most fucking overrated human beings on
Earth. Meryl Streep can't act. Scientists are full of shit. And if I see one more Coen Brothers movie.
Hey, 99% of scientists don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about.
Well, it depends on what you mean by scientist. Because it's not like,
well, that's true.
You don't have to,
go
to a scientist licensing camp.
If I could just get a couple of $1 million for research. Fuck you. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
I can tell you. Mishy, that was the funniest summary of anything in the history of the world. Fuck Meryl Streep, the Coen brothers, and science. Get out of here.
I didn't say science. I said scientist.
Scientist. And here's what I love. Your buddy, Don Shelby, his podcast I learned today will be just science.
That's what it
week
means,
in, week out. That's all he's
all
going to
bullshit.
Have on his science.
He doesn't claim to
so
be
your
a scientist.
Promos for it, Tom, will be more bullshit this week with Don Shelby.
Exactly.
Wait, is that real? Is that what Shelby's doing?
Yes.
Every week, nothing but scientists.
He better get me on that show, or that's going to be a fucking snoozer.
Mike's going to be the engineer on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a snooze fest.
Do you know what he's doing? I love this. He says, "I'm going to get an audience before I ever start."
Yeah,
he says, "That's why I'm waiting till fall." So what do you mean you're going to get an audience before you start? He goes, you have to have an audience ahead of time. I said, how are you going to do that?
Well,
I'm going to get schools to assign my podcast and then talk about it each week. All over America, so schools odd. Are going to be assigned to listen to the Don Shelby Show. That's what he told me.
It's just odd. He's an odd human being, let's be honest.
Not a terrible plan. I would start with Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's going to have scientists on from all over the country. They're going to be in studios all over doing ISDN line feeds. So he's got this huge plan of this network all over the country.
It sounds exhausting.
It sounds amazing.
It sounds like total arrogant bullshit to me.
I'm going to slide my way into that one, too. I'm working hard on becoming an icon in this town.
Just this town.
That's all I want. I just want to make a name here and then get some, you know, bullshit job and live out my days.
Andy, do you know if I'm supposed to talk about the TV show today or not?
I haven't heard anything.
You
so
don't
I'd
know
say...
jack squat about
yeah,
your
I don't
TV
know anything
show.
About
I showed
show.
Up and shot it, and I know that's all I know.
Well, I mean, I don't know
it.
The title. I don't know what it is, when
this
it is.
I got to tell people listening, this is the weirdest place to come into, because Tom's got a TV show, and I say to him, oh, where can you hear that, or what time, or what station? I don't know. I have no idea.
Knows.
Then he leaves the room, and I turn to Andy to say, the guy has no idea where his own show is. How do you even promote it? And I said, Andy, tell me about his show. And he said, I don't know anything about it.
So who the hell's in charge?
This is the weirdest place to come in and learn anything.
What are you talking about?
About what you're doing.
But you do know that, I mean, it's fun. It was fun to shoot it today.
You don't know where you shot it. Were you even in America?
I was in America.
What station were you on? You don't even know what station you were on.
Is it just for something local? Is it something local?
It's a local thing that they want to take national, but
he doesn't even know where he was.
Here's the deal, because you and I talked about this before.
Yeah.
So I've been approached to do like 4 TV shows.
Yeah.
Okay. This one I shot to pilot today. But the one that's fascinating is we were contacted by some, I don't know, these big fucking companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows who they are?
They think it would be, and I don't know that I want to do this, but they think... Actually, it's kind of what you talked about.
Yeah, you mean my idea? Yeah.
But I don't want it to be scripted in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So basically they said it would be a guy who does a morning show, does the real estate business, owns a bunch of restaurants, does a TV show, does a podcast, all this other... It's basically about my wife and my family, my life and my family.
And yeah. He sleeps on a cross.
So that's what you were... And I sleep on a cross, too. That's exactly right.
What?
But was that your idea?
Oh, yeah. No, pretty much... Well, not quite. I think it's more interesting. I think it's more interesting to see you transition from an icon in this town in the radio business to now doing your own family-run event
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
I think
that's right.
The fascinating thing.
I think you're exactly right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So are we going to do that?
Yeah, sure.
I have a completely different idea what I think would be a good TV show involving
you. We get
you
naked. We get a couple of shoes and a gorilla.
Good the plan. Only show I'd want to watch, and I would watch it, but it would be – you ever see the cable program In Treatment?
In Treatment, yes. I've seen
that. That's the only way I'd want to see you on television.
To talking about other people, about their drunkenness?
No. In Treatment was who's the Irish actor?
Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah. He's a therapist.
Yes.
I'd want a therapist to have you on a couch.
Oh, to sit down and talk to me about
that's what I would watch,
shit?
Yes. That's all
yeah, that
would I would
be
watch.
Interesting, because I would tell him the truth.
Right. And that would be that just two guys, not a lot of money. You in therapy. Who wouldn't in the Twin Cities, after your history, watch that?
Let me ask you a question, though. Why can't people be honest with themselves? Because people were stunned when I told them. And they started, like, tearing up and thought it was all terrible and horrible.
Yeah, I remember.
Because we were talking about Father's Day coming up, right? And I'm very close to my son and my daughter. You know, I tell them I love them every day and all the rest of it. They said, well, that was so – you and your dad. I said, I don't have one good memory of my father. And I don't. I was never close to my father. I don't have one good memory of him. I can't tell you one thing he ever said to me that I found clever. Or I just don't have any feelings for my father at all. I used to dislike him, but I don't do that anymore. But they can't believe – I guess I suppose from average families, you don't get it.
People can't see outside their own reality. That's the biggest issue with human beings. Like, my mom is the most wonderful person in the world and kind.
No,
and,
my mom is.
No, you fuck off. But she
no,
she does this thing where she cannot understand why people spend money on like big televisions.
Yeah.
But I was like, you got to understand, and it's just a simple, basic example. It's like, some people like television. You like to read. So nobody can. Nobody has the ability to step outside. Like, and I feel that way, too, because I'm very lucky. I have eight brothers and sisters and my parents, and we're all very close. So when I heard – I had a friend tell me the other day about how he – like his dysfunctional siblings and how they all fight and bicker all the time. That's hard for me to process because it's not my experience and I can't step outside
myself.
I was
told by a very learned person – and then you're a doctor. I was told I'm lucky I'm not a psychopath.
Because of the lacking father?
Because of lacking any feeling for him whatsoever.
I don't think that's true.
Well,
I
that's
think...
what psychopathy is, isn't it? To not have any feelings for another human
being. No, I think that's the lack of remorse when during wrongdoing.
You're psychopath.
Well, yeah, that's
a... I think sociopath.
Sociopath
has no empathy. It's interesting what you were saying earlier, because my mom, I consider the sweetest person in the world.
No, my mom was.
Well, and she killed a four-year-old neighbor boy.
On purpose?
Yeah.
She hit him with a Nolan Ryan baseball card.
I honestly cannot tell when you're doing a bit, and it makes me really hard to criticize you. Because now I feel...
I like watching it.
Do you know how horrible I feel in the inside of me right now? Because you deliver. You're a deliverer. I fucking hate it, but you can deliver.
Okay, I do have one feeling about my father. Mm-hmm. It's not about my father. It's about having a father. I wish I could have gone to him one time and said, Dad, what should I do?
Yeah.
I do have feelings for that. I wish I would have gone through that once in my life.
I got my second Tom Bernard TV show. It's beautiful. It's you in a,
so
it's you in a version of – no, now it's not in treatment. It's you in a version of
I'm with this.
Field of Dreams.
Nope, I'm not with
you know how
it.
the dad came out of the cornfield?
Yeah.
Your dad's
Ghost
coming
dad.
Out of somewhere, and you're
Ghost.
Encountering yeah. him, and he's a young man, and you're your age right now,
mm-hmm.
and you get to have – that conversation
hey, Dad,
with him.
You want to have a conversation like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a pitch though. TV show, go with me. It's like the Apprentice, except Tom is trying to hire a father that he can go to and ask what he should do.
I like
so
that
we bring
too.
In all these
like
cast
that.
Members and we put them through the ringer. And honestly, no one's going to be able to be your father.
But at the
you're kind of like your own father.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true. That's very
so
true.
It's going to be hard. Yes. You're going to be firing a lot of people.
I suppose that's true.
At the end, the guy wins. He wins the apprentice thing, and he's Tom's dad.
Yeah.
And there's this big moment. The balloons are coming down, and Tom walks up to him and says, "You can't be my dad. My dad's dead." And the show ends.
I like it.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, or you
like
just
it.
Walk up, and you be thanks for nothing, you fucking asshole. And, just that,
see,
that
I don't,
and he beheads him.
Yeah.
But I don't have those feelings for my father. I didn't. I was pissed off at him for a long time, but I never hated
well,
him.
Well, I think that's a normal human thing, though. You might have had some anger, but now you're a grown adult who has children of his own, and you've made peace with it. I think the people who are psychopaths are the people who have an issue with a person who is involved in their life and carry it for three decades.
And
past,
that's just a waste of time.
And they have no feelings for anybody. For anybody. That's the thing.
Which
you have feelings
I
for your father that they might be... very simple, or they might be very neutral.
Probably very simple.
Neutral and everything
I
like
suppose
that.
That's true. I do remember being 10 years old when he was acting all nuts and, you know, going ranting and raving and bullshit, and I would go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's your deal?
Well, that's because that's the age. 10-year-olds, when they're like, you can figure out your parents might be wrong.
But that's a feeling you have for your dad. You go, geez, Dad, what's this going on?
Well, I mean, he's just acting so goddamn weird.
I mean,
choking your grandmother is really something weird to watch. Watching your father choke his mother is weird to watch.
Well, yeah.
It is a wonder
you're not a psychopath.
I mean, but how do I know it's weird? Because it actually happened to me, so it's not weird to me.
But it is. But you have, because that's what he's saying, you're not a crazy person, because you looked at that and you're like, that's not probably right.
So we do size idea, but we inject that therapist right into that idea, that show. It works.
Yeah.
Oh, and you use that as a segue.
Hey, you're right.
Can I come on KQ and pitch to the entire Twin Cities who wants to be Tom's dad?
And the way I'd want the show to go is you'd be on the couch, the therapist would be talking to you, and then there'd be a knock at the door, and Suchere would stick his head in the door, and is it my turn yet?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
For you.
We'd be like the odd
Tom.
Couple.
Or you, Tom. Mischke,
when are you stepping in, by the way? How's that working for you?
I'd be hiding under the couch.
I'm going to be hiding it
from my road show.
I'm going to give it a run. I'm going to give it a run. I don't think I'll make it to the finals, but I'm playing.
Oh, you know what? I got to take a break. I don't want to talk about a judging contest that just pisses me off to no
what happened
end.
Something pisses you off?
I know. It's hard to believe. We'll be back in 90 seconds from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, TomBernardShow.com. I have a good reason to be talking today to Mike Bryant of the law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant.
Other than I'm one of the nicest people you know.
Well, that too. Now, today I need some legal advice.
I'll do my best. We always do our best for all of our clients.
Okay, here's my problem. I think I have a libel case for you to handle.
Okay, give me the facts.
Okay, the facts are I've been accused of being a bigoted, racist asshole.
Okay. I think a jury would be convinced, based on your statement, that there is no place for racism, that you hired the first black co-host for a radio show in the market, and that you grew up in North Minneapolis, that you couldn't, by any stretch of the imagination, be guilty of racism.
Well, thank you for that.
Easy money for Bradshaw and Bryant. The facts show the person was uttering the canard, was had libeled you, defamed you, and damaged your reputation.
And he also called me an asshole. What can you do for me there?
Honestly?
Well, yeah, of course.
In libel, truth is an affirmative defense.
You mean if I am an asshole and he calls me an asshole, I have no complaint?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, man.
The latest Mishki Road Show is out, folks.
Damn straight!
Episode number 5, what does road construction, God, and it's what do? God damn it, who wrote this?
That would be Mishki.
What do? What do?
What do road construction, God, and beer have to do with one another?
What do?
Find out. Find out on this week's installment, plus another weird interview with a 4-year-old and a chat with a genuine Irish swami.
Yeah, I found an Irish swami in St. Paul.
Okay, an Irish swami, the Mishki Road Show, available at iTunes, themishkiroadshow.com, or at thetombernardnetwork.com, and he's here with us today, ladies and gentlemen.
The word swami just makes me think of salami.
Swami.
How many, seriously, because I've never asked you this question, how many people are listening to us right now?
Not a whole lot, because... 98%
no, no,
of our
I don't mean.
Oh, like
live.
In,
I mean,
this
how many
moment?
Are hearing this show? Say within the next week and a half.
There'll be a couple hundred thousand.
Where are you, bastards? Where the hell are you, bastards? Because I have a show too.
Yeah, but you got to build it up. They got to know it's there.
I'm telling you, it's there. Could you please give it a try? It's the Mishki Road Show.
People love
I'll pay
your show.
I'll pay you to listen.
People love your show.
Well, let's see.
Well, you know what? It's a new technology, and I will tell you this. What I'm saying is this, is that I can tell you, you know what? Okay, we, you know, because we're going to wrap up part. Are you going to stay for part two? Or are you gonna...
No, I'm leaving at 4.
You're leaving at 4. Okay.
So,
okay, so I have a brand new car.
All right.
This is good news in a way and bad news in another way. I have a brand new car. It's a hybrid Cadillac ELR. It's
nice.
Does not have a CD player. There's no CD player. There's none of that bullshit.
I don't know that my car does either, actually.
Doesn't it either?
All right.
In my car, you can pause the radio and not listen to the commercials. You can pause it and just hit forward, and it'll fast forward through the commercials. That is not good news for the radio business, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all good news.
Wow.
But it does have a port to plug in your iPod or your iPad or your phone to listen to podcasts.
So just out of curiosity, how many people do you think listen to you in a car? And I mean this, not KQ.
Andy, what do you think? Most of them? Cars or trucks?
It's really not possible to say.
No.
That's hard. That's hard. Well, right. No, I think you break it down. Well, no, because it all comes as iTunes on Apple, right?
Yeah, it's just iTunes versus browser. But the thing about iTunes is that's computers or iPods. It's just impossible to say.
Catherine rented a car a few months ago, and it had a Stitcher button where the radio should be. Stitcher is where you pick up a lot of podcasts.
I just signed on with Stitcher, so that's good news,
well,
too.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it is changing. Mm-hmm. I would be very, very excited about this show if I were, like, 45 years old. Because in the next few years, podcasts are just going to blow up.
Right.
They're going to be huge. You know, because they'll go all around the world.
Right.
And there'll be a great directory. And you can the availability. People still will do the easiest thing. And the easiest thing is now still listening to the radio.
But you put up with, I mean, my old employer.
I agree.
18 minutes of commercials an hour. Do you want that?
I still have that.
You have that at KQ?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's huge.
That's
It's unbelievable. It's a lot.
And that's the reason my wife and I almost exclusively listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I listen to BBC podcasts for the radio. I pull down podcasts because then I can listen to my
leisure. They just got a little greedy. There's nothing wrong with a few commercials, but they just pushed it.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You don't have to do this all by yourself, and why would you want to? It's Tom Bernard here to talk to you about Sanbold & Associates Financial Services Group. Terry Sanbold has been helping people just like you all over the country to get their next financial level for over 27 years now, and that's a lot of experience. And he's joined us here on the Tom Bernard Podcast Network with his Money Talks show, streaming live on Mondays at 2 p.m. Terry and his team will help you review your finances and investments each quarter. Make sure you're organizing your short-term, mid-range, and long-term money. Evaluate options if you've left a job and a 401k behind someplace. Help you understand not only how to accumulate dollars for the future, but he will also show you how to spend your dollars in a more cost-effective way in retirement. Call Sanbold & Associates for a no-cost, no-obligation review or a second opinion. Terry's mission is to earn your business every time he talks with you. When was the last time you talked with your financial advisor? Call 952-544-2837. That's 952-544-2837. Go online to helpmeterry.com. That is one word, helpmeterry.com. Thanks for listening to part one. Thank you to Cy Amundsen. Thank you to Tommy Mischke.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm sure Catherine will join us for part two. Dr. Ralph Basham is here with us as well. We'll see you in 7 minutes on the TomBernardShow.com.